Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, A Capitalist Manifesto: Understanding the Market Economy and Defending Liberty by Gary Wolfram, is a short, argument-driven economics book that defends capitalism as both an efficient system and a moral one, written in accessible prose. It is aimed at readers who want a basic but coherent explanation of how market economies function and why Wolfram believes they are superior to socialist alternatives. The book moves from foundational economic ideas such as demand, supply, equilibrium, and profit to broader questions about money, wealth creation, government intervention, and individual liberty. Rather than presenting economics as a neutral technical field, Wolfram uses it to make a normative case for free markets, limited government, and personal responsibility. The result is a compact defense of capitalism that is as much about political philosophy and civic freedom as it is about economic mechanics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, capitalism as a system tied to liberty and social justice. The central claim of the book is that capitalism is not merely one economic arrangement among many, but the only one that can consistently support individual liberty and social justice. Wolfram frames the market economy as a voluntary system in which people coordinate through exchange rather than coercion, and that distinction matters to his argument. In his view, free markets respect personal choice because economic decisions are decentralized among millions of participants rather than imposed by the state. This lets the book connect economics to political philosophy. Prosperity is not the only benefit of capitalism, because liberty itself depends on limiting coercive control over production, prices, and distribution. The emphasis on social justice is important because Wolfram does not treat capitalism as morally narrow or purely profit-oriented. Instead, he argues that a system built on voluntary exchange is more just than one that redistributes by force, even when redistribution is defended in egalitarian terms. This framing gives the book its distinctive ideological purpose. Secondly, a step-by-step explanation of how markets work. One of the book's practical strengths is its straightforward introduction to basic market concepts. Wolfram builds the discussion from demand and supply to equilibrium and profit, using these ideas to show that market outcomes are not random or arbitrary. Prices, in this framework, are signals that communicate information about scarcity, preferences, and trade-offs. Equilibrium represents the point at which buyers and sellers coordinate their plans, while profit indicates where resources are being used effectively to satisfy needs. By organizing the material from simple to more complex concepts, the book makes market theory accessible to readers who may not have formal training in economics. This pedagogical structure matters because the book is not just trying to persuade. It is trying to explain the logic behind everyday economic life. The result is a defense of capitalism grounded in how markets actually function, rather than in slogans. Wolfram's method suggests that once readers understand the basic mechanics, many anti-market assumptions become harder to sustain. Thirdly, critique of socialism and the Communist Manifesto tradition. A major theme of the book is its direct challenge to socialist thought, especially the legacy of the Communist Manifesto of 1848. Wolfram presents socialism as a system that has repeatedly promised utopia but produced oppression, poverty, and administrative failure instead. He treats this not as an isolated historical accident, but as a pattern rooted in the structure of centralized control. When the state attempts to replace market coordination, it must decide for others what should be produced, at what price, and for whose benefit. Wolfram argues that this undermines freedom and also distorts incentives, leading to poor economic performance. The book's critique is therefore both moral and practical. Socialism fails because it violates liberty and because it mishandles economic knowledge. This line of argument is reinforced by the book's insistence that market economies emerge naturally from human interaction, while socialist systems depend on coercive planning. By positioning capitalism against the failures of socialism, Wolfram gives the book a clear polemical edge and situates it firmly within anti-collectivist economic writing. Fourthly, the role of knowledge, incentives, and unintended consequences. The book also highlights a deeper economic argument: no central authority can fully replace the information and incentives embedded in market processes. Wolfram's discussion of free markets suggests that ordinary people, through their own choices, collectively generate far more useful knowledge than planners can gather or apply from above. This idea helps explain why the market is presented as both efficient and adaptive. Individuals respond to prices, risks, and opportunities in ways that transmit information and encourage productive activity. Profit is part of that system because it rewards successful coordination and signals where value is being created. In contrast, government intervention often produces unintended consequences because policymakers cannot foresee every effect of their actions. Efforts to adjust outcomes in favor of particular groups may seem compassionate or fair in the short term, but can weaken incentives and reduce freedom in the long term. This part of the book is significant because it moves beyond ideology and into the logic of systems. Wolfram's defense of capitalism rests not only on principle, but on the claim that decentralized knowledge and incentives make markets more reliable than managed alternatives. Lastly, a guide to reading market economics through liberty-minded thinkers, Wolfram situates his argument within a broader tradition of classical liberal and free market thought, drawing on thinkers such as Friedrich Hayek and Frederic Bastiat. Their influence helps frame the book as part of a long defense of spontaneous order, limited government, and the relationship between freedom and prosperity. Hayek's importance lies in the idea that knowledge is dispersed and that individual liberty allows people to use local information more effectively than planners can. Bastiat contributes the principle that government should protect individuals from harm without becoming an instrument for taking from one group to benefit another. These references are not decorative. They help Wolfram show that his case for capitalism is intellectually grounded and historically connected to major economic ideas. For readers, this gives the book a dual function. It explains market principles in simple terms while also pointing toward a larger tradition of political economy. That makes it useful as an introductory text for students or general readers who want to understand not just what capitalism is, but why its defenders see it as tied to freedom, responsibility, and limited state power. In conclusion, A Capitalist Manifesto is best suited for readers who want a concise, unapologetic defense of capitalism that is readable without being simplistic. Students, young professionals, and general readers with limited background in economics will benefit most, especially if they want an introduction to how supply, demand, equilibrium, profit, and market coordination fit together inside a broader argument about liberty. The book is also useful for readers trying to understand the intellectual roots of free market thinking, since it links everyday economic questions to ideas associated with Hayek, Bastiat, and classical liberal thought. What makes it stand out from many books in the economics and political debate category is its combination of instructional clarity and ideological directness. It does not merely describe how markets function. It openly argues that capitalism is morally and practically superior to socialist alternatives. That makes it more pointed than a neutral textbook and more accessible than a dense theoretical treatise. Readers looking for a clear, compact framework for thinking about markets and government will find it especially valuable. If you would like to support Gary Wolfram, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.